prayer list for this week. Prayers for a happy rebirth. All those killed by natural and man-made disasters. For all those killed by others or by their own hands. Jordan Johnson, Edward Story, Carolyn White, Christy White, Shanti the Mouse, Sheena the Chipmunk. Job Search. Roseanne Barona, Travis Boone, Brian and Brandy, Joe Griffiths, Jim Kay, Bruce Miller, Lindsay Piatti, Sarai, Pooja Shah, Greg Weaver, Joe Whitley. Prayers for health and well-being. Kabje Lama Zompa Rinpoche, Venerable Thich Nhat Hanh, Venerable Gelton, Venerable Cherky Lamo, all those harmed by natural and man-made disasters. Jorge Aurelio, Jim Barnes, Carl Barnett, Luce and Narcissus Verona Sr., Susie Baum, Dale Bullis, Yuki Burrows, Ted Domi, Tashi Droma, Mildred Gooch, Crystal Green and Family, Tracy Haas Thompson, Christina Harrison, Frank Holt, Kenny Jackson Buddy, Dallin Sue Johnston, Family of Jordan Johnson, Barry Judge, Helen Katzenoff, Jonathan Kramer, Shandi and Kurt Latimer, Jim Lillig and Family, Kim Lillig, Mary Lochek, Ina Lovelace, R.M., Georgia McDonald and Family, Leonard Macklis, Wilbert Martin, Florence Fisher McClure, Elvia Mejia and Family, Bruce Miller, David Muller, Audrey Murphy, Marie and Kevin Murphy, Evan Merlin Family, Jessica Nunley, Marie Oliver, Jay Pondia, Don Pascal, Lindsay Piatti, Renee Reyna, Ann Rivers, James Rowan and Teresa Creighton, Ralph Rumley, Ariana Scott, Joanne Cease, Ronnie Schumann and Family, Andre Smith, Emily Smith, Nancy Sorbet, Lobsam Tupten, Dion Washington, Family of Carolyn White, Family of Christy White, Shay Wokowicki, Marguerite Young, Brittany the Maltese, Dorje and Cardo the Pigs, Padme Tara and Padme Solomon the Cats, Tom the Cat, Utpala Lily the Cat. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. My name's Lamo. In a few minutes, about 10 minutes or so, Geshe-la will be coming in through the door. If you've never been here, if you'll please stand out of respect for him and the teachings. And then you'll see him prostrate in front of the altar, and then the rest of us will probably prostrate along with him. If you feel uncomfortable doing so, that's perfectly fine. Just remain standing, and then he'll sit on the throne, and then he'll invite everyone to sit. If Geshe-la invites people to make comments or ask questions, then please wait for the handheld mic. And when you get it, please place it very close to your lips and speak clearly. We are streaming this session, so the people online can't hear you no matter how loudly you speak. So please speak into the microphone. Also, it's being recorded. But you don't have to worry because the camera is right on Geshe-la and it doesn't move, so you won't be seen. Geshe-la has mentioned many times that it's great purification practice and a great way to accumulate merit simply by walking around the stupa, which is that white structure out there with all the beautiful carvings, and also to spin the prayer wheels going to and from the stupa. If you have cell phones, if you'll please either turn them off or turn the sound completely off, put it on vibrate. Let's see, what else? Restrooms are out down there outside the to the left of the back door. I wonder if anyone, there's going to be any announcements, because we are going to have a little celebration afterwards. Let's get a sample. Let's see, children are welcome to sit up front because it helps sort of with the movement of the whole compa, so people don't have to shift forward. I think that's it. There will be prayers that we'll be saying either in the gold book. If you don't have the gold book at your seat, if you're sitting in a chair behind you, there's a white binder. And if you're If you have just the white binder, then most of the prayers are on the first sheet with the text on it. After the image, I believe there's an image of Shakyamuni Buddha. Otherwise, all the prayers are in this gold book. We'll start with page 183, which is the mantra recitation, Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra, and then I'll tell you other pages that we'll be saying. And also, I think the dedication prayer that we say will be on the back of that sheet in the white folder. If you have the white folder. And then I'll just tell you where it is. I think it's on 247 or something anyway. And here, 246. Okay. I think that's it. please turn to page 183 in the Gold Prayer Book, or and the first page with text in it in the white binder. And let's chant Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra three times. It's in the two lines, between the two lines on page 183.
Tayata Om Mune Mune Mahamunaye Soha Tayata Om Mune Mune Mahamunaye Soha Tayata Om Mune Mune Mahamunaye Soha.
Now turn to page 34 in the Gold Prayer Book. And let's chant the, read the four immeasurables in English on pages 34 and 35. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Now turn to page 37, and let's chant, towards the bottom it says the Four Immeasurables chanting version, and in the white binder it's just the words in Tibetan by the music notes.
Sen chen tam che de wa dong de we yu dong den par ju chi
below you see Chenrezig's mantra, Green Tara's mantra. So let's chant Chenrezig's mantra eight times and then Green Tara's mantra seven times, keeping in mind the those on the prayer list that I read earlier.
Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.
That's up to you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So this is a story I only practiced, well, once or twice, so there might be some glitches, okay? It means I make mistakes. Yeah, big ones. Okay, so I might make some mistakes and need some help. Okay, so this is a story that comes from the stories of the Buddha's past lives called Jataka Tales. Okay, and many, 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 many years ago, even before the Buddha was born, there was a wonderful, wonderful forest with many, many beautiful deer in it. And this forest was owned by a king. And guess what? The king liked to eat deer meat even better than I like ice cream.
What?
Which is really hard to believe. Okay? So his men would go into the forest and hunt, and of course many deer were dying, and there were two king deers. There was the king of the monkey deer, and then there was the golden deer, or banyan deer. And they said, "Oh, this must stop. We cannot lose so many of our dear deers. So, our very dear deers." So they said, "Well, what shall we do? Well, we know that the king is not going to stop. They're not going to stop eating meat. So what shall we do?" Well, so they agreed that each day one deer from the herd, and this is really sad, one deer from the herd, one day it would be from the monkey, king of the monkey deer's herd, and one day from king of the banyan's deer, would go to a chopping block and give up their life so all the other deer in the forest would be protected. And this went on, but one day, there was a mommy deer who was just about ready to have her, what are they called?
Babies,
but they're called fawns. Just about ready to have her baby fawn. And so she went, she was a monkey deer, so she went to the king of the monkey deer and she said, "You know, could someone take my place today? And when my baby is born and can take care of itself, then I will go take its place." And the monkey deer said, "No, it's your turn. Go." So she was very, very brave, and she wanted to protect her baby. So she went to the golden deer, and she said, "You know, do you think someone in your herd could take my place? Because if I just want to be able to give birth to my baby and make sure it can take care of itself, and then I will go to I will give my life." And the deer said, the king of the deer said, "Oh, I can't ask anyone to do that, because that wouldn't be fair of me, so I will go myself." And so the golden deer went and put his head on the block. Well, when the huntsman came and he saw that was one of the king of the deers, he said, "Uh-oh, I can't do this. I'll be in trouble with the king." So he went and told the king, who was waiting for his deer mate. And then king said, "What?" So he went and he saw the deer, the king of deer, like lying with his head on the block. And he was just, his heart opened, just opened. And he said, "You would give your life to protect one of your subjects? My subjects are supposed to protect me." And the deer said, "But yes, what a king does is they protect their subjects." And he said, you are wiser than I. So from now on, there will be no deer killed in my forest." And so not only did the deer save the mommy and her soon-to-be-born baby, he saved all of the deer, both the monkey deer and his own deer, because the king's heart opened. So today, is everybody going to have a really open heart and be kind and generous? Going to try it? Yeah? Okay, great. Okay, and later we're going to have something going on, so you're going to have a great opportunity to share. Okay, time to go to class. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning. Time for nap. Short nap. Short nap. What we call meditation? Nap. Maybe five minutes. Yeah. Just joking. Not nap, but meditation. Meditation. 5 minutes. I think 2 minutes is better than 5 minutes. Better. So when we meditate, first we of course, there are, sitting positions that you learn. There's like seven sitting positions that you learn when you meditate, or traditionally, or according to the instructions. So then after that, once you learn how to sit properly before you do meditation, so then the first thing what you do, so not just you, me, everybody, so we analyze our mind, we look at our mind. Is my mind is disturbed, or if my mind is just neutral, or my mind is thinking something positive, something good? Or am I happy, am I unhappy, or I'm not really happy, or not unhappy, I'm just okay, So that we need to analyze that first, do meditation. Why? Because you can meditate, with disturbing thought. You can meditate with, neutral thought. You can, of course, meditate with the positive thought. That's why you analyze, how you feel now, how you feel. If you discover that your mind is kind of disturbed, by something happening here, or maybe, somebody does something while you're coming here, something happened on the road, maybe something happened last night, you still kind of remember that. So it's very, very important, so including myself, all my friends here, to fasting that you analyze your mental state. Okay, you analyze your mental state. If you discover that your mind is kind of disturbed, then you breathe. You exhale forcefully. Okay, exhale like... force with the force. Then just imagine that your disturbing thought comes out. Okay? Just imagine your disturbing thought comes out. Any form, like in the chair, they suggest like some kind of, dark color that comes out. Just imagine it comes out. So then goes out, then out of the house, out of Raleigh, out of North Carolina, then disappears. What we think doesn't matter. So visualization does help. So that you think. Because all the difficulties caused by thinking, all the difficulties or complications that related to our thought or mind is mainly caused by our thinking. It's not like we are born with that. We are not born with all this, complications that related to the mind. So when we are born, what we are thinking, we are just thinking to eat something to eat or something to play, so that's all we are thinking. So then when we grow up, our thinking kind of like develop, not always in a positive way, unfortunately, so then thinking all kind of thing. Exhale forcefully, then just imagine, that energy that makes your mind kind of negative energy, that makes you kind of uneasy, then just imagine that goes out of your, systems, then you kind of disappear, okay? Then still, mind is disturbed. What we need to do, we need to concentrate on our breath. Out, slowly, in, one. Out, slowly, in, is two. So then, we don't have to meditate. Nobody says you have to meditate, If you are seeking some kind of freedom, from this, mental complication, then it does make sense to meditate. There's the complication that relates to the thought has to solve through thought, through mind. So then, that's why the meditation is. So then, breathe out slowly in one. Then we do that 21. First 7 times, then 7 times, then 7 times, 21 times. Huh? When you do, then please make sure that you place all your attentions. Can we do that? Of course we can do that, If someone can do, why not you can do? Physically, mentally, we are all same. We all, from the Buddhist point of view, we all possess Buddha nature. If I put some effort to go round, two round, Shilly Lake, have you been to Shilly Lake? Two round. This is not really exciting, It's not like eating cheesecake or eating like chocolate chip cookie from Whole Foods, You have to put effort. You have to have heart power. You have to have some form of discipline. That can be done. It can be done. First round, or maybe tomorrow I'll do another round. Or maybe not. Maybe I'll go now. I'm already here. It requires some kind of motivation. Then when you go around, when you finish, you feel good. You don't feel terrible. Oh, I finished 2 rounds. I feel miserable. You don't do it. You feel good. But that does require some effort, Everything requires effort. Everything requires effort. With effort, you can do. You can make something that's so hard. In the beginning, you think, that's so hard. Eventually, it will become easier, if you put some effort. So it might not be easy, to sit down, so to learn this, 7 sitting positions, then to learn how to breathe and to try to place 100% attention on your breath. That's not easy, no? But it can be done. If we really want to make our mind calm and peaceful, we need to focus. We really need to focus. You know? I'm not ordering you, I'm just explaining. You know, if we need to make our mind calm, according to Buddhist teaching, how you can do. There is no medication. In Buddhist teaching, there's no medication. So, only thing that you do, you focus, you know, concentrate. Next 1 minute, I am going to do this breathing meditations, and I will try to place all my attentions on my breath, you know, and see, does that make your mind calm and peaceful? It should. It should make your mind calm and peaceful. Oh yeah, that doesn't mean, you know, while you try to concentrate on your breath, doesn't mean every thought will be stopped. No, no. Thought is not going to stop, you know, but thought will rise, but you don't follow them. You don't follow them. You just notice and let it go. Your now job here next 2 minutes is to concentrate on your breath. Oh? From this issue. So then you do 21 breathing meditations. So then slowly that doing that meditations, it will transform your disturbing mind from your disturbing thought. It will transform into neutral. Neutral? Then your mind becomes neutral. So then from there, it's easy to think something positive. No, if you are very angry, you can't think positive, unfortunately. Not just you, everybody. You know, even though someone's wearing a rope, if you get angry, rope doesn't protect. No, if the rope protects, then I can order, then I can give each one of you one set. That doesn't help. No. What does it help? It helps only your thought. You know, it will prevent, it will protect, it will prevent from, you know, disturbing thought. So do, you know, 21 breathing meditations, you know. So then also I explained, you know, this 9-round breathing meditation is quite, you know, important, you know, quite important. So 9-round breathing meditation is to get rid of negative energy that's been stuck into our channels, or do cause, you know, some kind of physical discomfort, and that contribute to mental discomfort. Therefore, it's doing 9-round breathing meditations. Please, after the class, you ask, you know, I taught this many, many times, ask, you know, that you can ask them, they'll explain. Every thought, when the thought arises, you know, look at those people, it's beautiful, that's beautiful, you know. I'm so happy to be around with these wonderful people. Why there are so many people? I don't like a lot of people here. You know, why they are here? I thought there will be only few people. There are so many people. Why they are there? Why they don't just live in their house, you know? That minute that disturbing thought arises, that disturbing thought, every thought, I'm repeating this, every thought, you know, comes with energy. That energy, whether the energy is going to be well balanced or imbalanced, is very much dependent on the thought. But if the thought is imbalanced, means not flexible, means tight. Tied with something, or tied with something, means upset with something. You know? So there's imbalance. You know, it's like, it's okay, you know, like, not, like, balance. You understand? Balance, imbalance. If the thought is imbalanced, that means that thought is not very positive. It's negative thought, that's disturbing thought. So that energy is going to be imbalanced, that means energy is going to be waste. That energy is completely waste. Where does energy go? It doesn't go to your enemy's house. It doesn't go to the person you don't like, it goes in your channels. It goes to your channels. Then many of them get stuck. Then cause physical discomfort, then contribute to mental discomfort. That's why you do this 9-round breathing meditations. There's a technique that's been used, has been taught 2,500 years ago, it's been used, and it benefits people. So you do this nine round breathing meditations, then that's the way to eliminate this, you know, lung roll, means no wasted energy, that's to get rid of that. Then do that first nine round breathing meditation, do the first, then after that, then do 21 breathing meditation. No? Okay? So then 21 breathing meditation is to transform your disturbed mind state to neutral mind state, then from there, then you think something positive. Meditation means think something positive. Gom top, gom meditation. So I said this many times, not because I don't think that you don't know. Of course, no, you are very smart. You do know when I explain. But I'm reminding you the importance of, you know, everybody should, including myself, we all should know the purpose of the meditation is to reduce disturbing thought. That's all. No, it's not like to purpose of meditation doesn't mean you try to become Buddhist or something, the type to believe in something. No. It's simply purpose of meditation to reduce disturbing thought. Why? Disturbing thought, if you have disturbing thought, you are not happy. If I have disturbing thought, I'm not happy. If I'm Buddhist, yeah, there's no excuse. If the Buddhist has disturbing thought, it's going to be unhappy. If you are atheist, if you have disturbing thought, you are not going to be happy. And we all have mind, so usually I call that like permanent roommate. We can get rid of, you know. So if you have some stuff you don't like, you can store. You can there, you know, you have like storage. You can store there. I mean, the little while you don't see them. If you meet them, you can visit them. You know, open the storage. But mind, you can store. You cannot store. No choice. What do you do? So, purpose, this is very important, you know, purpose of meditation or power of meditation to reduce or minimize disturbing thought. Less disturbing thought, better life is going to be, you know. More disturbing thought, doesn't matter how much you own, how much you possess, what kind of position you hold, what kind of education you have, you are going to be an unhappy person. You are going to not be a happy person, so, because you have like, this change, you're living with this chain of disturbing thoughts, one after another. So probably you saw in your life, and I also, when I came here in America, it's been now 16 years, I also met a number of people who has everything that you can imagine. Same time, if that person is very happy, no, that person is not very happy. At the same time, other hand, what do you call, and also, you know, I request you to read Samsara. In Buddhism is called Samsara. Just read what is Samsara, you know. What is the Samsara they've been talking about last 2500 years? What is that? Just read, you know. Just read. Don't have to accept, just read. So once you have some understanding of Samsara, then you say, oh, my life is not going to be happy all the time. No, that's like unrealistic expectations. No, life is going to be like this, you know. Why? We don't think same, we don't say same thing, we don't share same interests, we have different interests, different thinking, different way of doing things, or maybe my way of doing things, maybe you may not like the my way of doing things. That doesn't mean you need to get rid of me. You may not like somebody believes in something, you don't. Doesn't mean you have to get rid of them. That's not how it's going to solve the problems. So, one gentleman, maybe he's here or not, so, you know, every class we discuss, after, you know, certain time discuss, and he said, we are here to learn how to surf. Surf? Surf? Surf. When on oceans. How you say? No service. How you
surf.
Say? Yeah. You say the word, please, you say the word, yeah, that, you know, it's like, yeah, because there's a, like some, first of all, what is Samsara? It's like oceans, there's not very calm oceans, unfortunately. If there's ocean, there's wild wave. What is this wild wave? This wild wave is like our actions and our thought. in each one has a thought and action. So, then you know that's why everybody's been impacted by that. You know, so, carry out here, carry out there. You know, so yeah, day to day like experience. You know, first thought, any circumstance, the first thought that arises is not always positive. If it's always positive, life is going to be much, much better. If you are believing in something, oh, your life is going to be much better. If you are not believing in anything, oh, your life is not going to be better. That's not true. If you don't believe in anything, if you think something positive, your life is going to be better. You know? What we think does matter. Christian, Buddhist, atheist, everybody, what we think does matter, you know, does have positive impact. Oh. So, how to
sir.
Yeah. Not to change the wave, but use that, you know, change wave to serve our own benefit, you know, to learn, you know, so I can serve, I never serve, you know, so I shouldn't go near to the wild wave, but you know, some people, they really, you know, just So then, please, you know, read about, you know, if you are interested about solving your problems, then need some knowledge. The simple wish is not that good enough. No simple wish, we all have wish. Why you suffer that? You have a wish, I have a wish. So then, other hands, now today I would like to have some discussions, you know, want to hear or maybe have some discussion about acceptance. Is this something that we can do or is this just myth? Is this something that we can really do mentally? Oh. As I mentioned, you know, life, unless you liberate it, completely from your disturbing thought, there will be no more complications, you know. If you can manage to liberate it yourself, in Buddhism it's called samsara, but if, you know, if you can liberate it from disturbing thought for good, there will be no complications. Until then, there will be always some kind of complications. Therefore, we need to learn how to focus, how to meditate. This all helps. This all makes life a little bit easier, you know. Not liberate, but, you know, temporarily liberate. So we need to learn how to protect, how to free ourselves from disturbing thoughts. That's why you meditate. You know? It's not like there's new fashions. Oh, meditations. You know, like, it's not like just to learn something new, you know, like, it's not a fashion. Fashion? Meditation is not just fashion. It is to help us, you know, improve our inner qualities. So, we become gentle, kind, compassionate, you know, doesn't matter when you look around, everybody has problems, you know, even though we all look good, dress well, smell good, you know, doesn't mean that you have no problem, everybody's problem. So here today, when I'm coming down here, so I'm talking about Jaya, about, you know, like acceptance. So so I want to discuss about that, you know, acceptance, you know, like, yeah, you have maybe some problem I don't have. Maybe I have some problem that you don't have, you know, and there's problem everybody has, you know, a little bit here, there. Huh? And the knowledge is the answer. Knowledge is the answer. Huh? So there is knowledge within the Buddhism. There's so much knowledge you can learn. Within Christianity, there's so much knowledge you can learn. Within Mother Teresa, life, how you say, her life example, you can learn so much from there, you know. This is all about learning. First, you need to learn. Why? Because of wisdom liberates. Wisdom frees. Wisdom liberates. So, not just wish, you know. Wisdom liberates. Wisdom, by reading something, or talking to people, then wisdom thinking, what you read, thinking, that's a little better than wisdom, deep thinking, that's meditation. So those wisdom then liberates you, okay, liberates. So, then of course I will definitely say something, you know. So, are you agree that we should discuss about, have some discussion about acceptance? Not acceptance of cheesecake or chocolate chip cookie, that's easy, no, not that. Acceptance, when things fall apart, what do you do? As a human, what do you do? As a Buddhist, what do you do? As a Christian, what do you do? No? And as a human being, what do you do? Acceptance. Acceptance. And maybe... if we find some solutions, you know, beside medications, every medication has side effects. I'm not, you know, saying that medication is bad, but you know, if there's alternative, some alternative, you know, meditation is organic. That's part of a whole food, organic, that's organic. It's pure organic, not just label. So, every, you know, these discussions is not about, oh, there's no, like, oh, there's no answer. There are answers in the Buddhist teachings. Answer may not be suits you at that moment, you know, there are answers. But answer may not suit you. So, some kind of common sense, you know, what we do, you know, when we face some difficult, or things are going right, not like, you know, 2 days, you know, long period of time. You have compassion, I have compassion, when we see somebody's going through some difficulties, what you can do? Really nothing. You just say some prayers, and you just think about that person, and say as much as positive thoughts as possible. But, you know, that's pretty much it, you know. So now here, if you talk, if you say something, you know, as I like 2 months ago, 3 months, maybe 3 months ago, you know, like that, you know, serving, it does help, you know, to think. So what, 11:50, we stop, 11:50? Right, 11:50. So then, before we have discussion, I would like to say a little bit about Tonglen practice. Okay, Tonglen practice. Tonglen. Are you familiar with Tonglen practice? Some of you are Tonglen practice. It's not just to learn; it's to do. Not to do. This is not meditation means the instructions that guide us how to think something positive. It all comes down on mind. That's all. It all comes down on how we think, what we think, you know. It's all matters. Tonglen practice, I just want to explain that, you know, so if you do it, you know, so it will probably help to ease your complications, you know, Tonglen practice. So, Tong is like give. And that's how the giving has been done, you know, based on the Buddhist teachings. The giving is always done out of love. That's how you give, you know, out of love. Loving kindness, love and kindness, and out of, you know, those. These are minds. This is mental quality. It's not like, oh, this is love. That's how I give. This is not love. Where's love? Love is the thought. It's here. It's the thought. It's not physical. It's mental. It's the mental thing. Love, compassion, patience, forgiveness. These are all mental things. It's not material things. It's the mental things. Huh? It's the mental things. That means we can generate. We can guide ourselves to think that we generate. So give, you know, generally speaking, the giving is like giving tools for others. You know, that's how generally speaking the giving is done. Out of loving kindness, you give. You know, not like physically, but you know, mentally you are thinking, oh, I'm giving my body, I'm giving my mind, I'm giving my happiness, I'm giving my merit, you know, three times merit, not just today, past, present, future, big. When you give, you think big, you know, like Texas. Very big, you know. Then you can wear a big hat. big, you know. That's how giving has been done, you know, to think, you know, oh, if somebody needs water, I will transform all three times of merit, my positive thought, my positive mind, I will transform that into water, and they're just getting it. Just think. Doesn't mean they are getting physically water, but just think and see how what it does. It does immense benefit. You get immense benefit, immense benefit. Whenever you generate loving kindness, love, you get benefit because this is positive thought. Positive thought means mental happiness. That's all. That's why you get, you know, benefit. Okay? Then that's generally speaking, is giving is done out of loving kindness. No, you just give. There's an old, you know, the parents here, many parents. You give all the time. You give all the time. You know, you give your children, you clothe them, you shower them, you feed them all the time. You know, if you do that out of loving kindness, that's going to be a wonderful practice. That's going to be Tonglen practice. So Len, you know, Len means take. Not goodness, but you know, take problems. So first let me explain, you know, and I'm not ordering any of you to do this practice, I'm just explaining. If you are interested, then you can do. So now take, you know, so this done, taking part, you know, difficulties of other beings, taking out of compassion. Okay, taking out of compassion. So that's how it's been done, taking out of compassion. But you are the one who's doing it, but you know, you are not taking on yourself. That also needs to be very, very clear. According to Buddhist philosophy, Buddhist teachings, why this life, right from the beginning to till now, why there are so many complications, you know, ups and downs. Why? Not because that, you know, your neighbor is doing something wrong, you are doing something wrong. No, because we tend to blame some external object, right? I do, you do, we all do. We have to admit, we all do. You know? Nobody's perfect. Everybody does, you know. That's why we are not liberated. As I said, you know, first mind that arises is something wrong, you know, something negative. So I, you know, drive, you know, not every day, but you know, sometimes I drive. And no, I'm the one who's talking about mindfulness, but I don't have mindfulness. Person who talk mindfulness doesn't mean person that's completely kind of perfect mindfulness. No. I do talk about mindfulness, and sometimes I don't have mindfulness, you know. One time, you know, I'm driving, person behind flashing the light. First thing, you know, first mindset is coming out, oh, why are you flashing, no? It's like something negative. At the same time, you know, I'm like not able to see what's happening in the car. Turns out that my light turned off, somebody's trying to help me, remind me to turn off. But that's not what I think. I'm thinking something negative, you know? That's not like I say surprising. That's, you know. So now I need to learn how to think something positive. You know, any circumstance. So even though being a monk from since 7 to till now, but still, you know, think about mindfulness. You know, think about something positive. Isn't it interesting? Somebody tried to remind you to turn on light, and there's like number of people. You know, one person, And you think, why they are not doing that? You know, maybe they don't like me, or maybe then your mind starts to create stories, you know. Then you are carried out by that, you know. So the eventual turns out that they are all trying to help me. So that's not I thought in the beginning, you know. That's unfortunate, you know. So now taking part, you know, why there's all this complication from now until now. According to Buddhist philosophy, Buddhism, you know, all the blame goes to the mind that grasps very tightly on self. What do you call? Self-grasping. That mind has no clue. That mind is head to toe is 100% wrong. Mind that grasping very tightly on self, the self doesn't exist. Am I making any sense? Huh? Or like making you more worried? I'm not saying there's no self. Of course there's self. There's you, there's me. You see, I'm not saying there's no self. But the self that we see, you know, something absolute, inherent, independent, that does not exist. All the problems, you know, what you call sometimes fundamental confusions, that's the root of all the problems. When you take out of compassion, when you take other people's problem, and you take on that, so that needs to go sooner or later. It's considered as a chronic disease, never been healed. Chronic disease, never been healed. So now my pronunciation becomes so good, and Robert Thurman used to hear calling Jesus. I'd say chronic disease. He keep hearing the professor Robert Thurman. Just keep hearing calling Jesus. The self-grasping mind is calling Jesus. That's considered a chronic disease that needs to heal. So when you take, you are the one who's doing taking, but you pile on that, just imagine that just no minute you pile on that, just disperse. That mind is completely shattered. And just imagine that moment you are now free from that chronic disease, no? Self-grasping. What is self? Yeah, everybody has some idea. Oh, maybe, you know, this is self. No, like, everybody, you know. There's so much research, like, after research has been done, like, last 2500 years, so many research has been done. Who is suffering? Who is complaining? You know, so much research has been done on that, you know, how to identify self. I, right from the beginning, that's not really clear idea, right from the beginning, I, then from there, my, so then leads from one problem to another problem, because right from the beginning, there's no really clear image of I or self. That's why emptiness, teaching on emptiness, meditation on emptiness will cut the root of all the problems. Why? Because when you meditate on emptiness and you try to identify true self, you know, so that goes direct against to the fundamental confusions. That's why when you see emptiness, you'll be liberated. You'll be liberated from that, you know, confusion. So, and you know, that again is about, you know, emptiness, okay? Teaching on emptiness. So maybe then I'll finish the rest of the giving and taking practice, only practice maybe next Sunday. So, you know, I very much like to have some time for discussions here, okay? So here, the topic that we are going to discuss, I very much like to hear, and please contribute. How to accept? Accept. What is required? What kind of thought will that support to accepting something? Am I making sense?
Yes.
Acceptance. Oh. As I said, that doesn't mean there's no answer. There is answer, but no, that answer may not help you this moment, then that answer means nothing. You know, so therefore I would like to have the discussions. I would like very much to hear from you. Acceptance, first acceptance, then maybe transforming that into something, will probably lead you somewhere, then nowhere. Jinye means difficult circumstance. Jinye lambda jun means transforming that into path. Means the path probably will lead you somewhere. Then you say, oh, maybe there's no somewhere to think when things doesn't go right. Maybe there's somewhere you can think. Then you will be okay. So something like that. Okay, acceptance. No. Yeah, with that, I'll stop my talk here. So then, please, if you want to, please say something. Please do. Contribute. No pressures. No, just as a begging with my two handful, begging. Please say something in order for all of us to benefit. Okay.
My thought would be in our everyday life. We're talking about complications and problems, and I know we all have careers because we are expert at solving certain kinds of problems. When someone else has an overwhelming difficulty, like they're sick and they go to the doctor knows how to help solve that problem. When I had a career as a computer consultant and somebody has some great big problem, and they had no idea what kind of computers to get or how to program them or how to get things organized to solve all their problems. My whole career was based on solving their problems, and through education and training and so on, we know how to do that in our field. Teachers know how to teach in their field and solve problems of people who don't know how to read or write, things like that. So we are so used to solving problems and difficulties that others may think are big, but we can see through our experience, we know how to deal with that. And meanwhile, I think of Buddhism as a set of thinking that helps us remain calm and positive in our own minds while we're doing this. It's kind of working on our inner landscape. While we also are helping others solve problems, but this is a kind of activity we're doing. It's the basis of all our life.
Hi. Well, I don't know if it's like if I'm right in this understanding, but when it comes to like a reincarnation.
Yeah, probably.
Reincarnation?
Sorry.
I have this thought that, correct me if I'm wrong, that...
No, there's no correction. So please.
No? I feel that I'm a mother, I'm a father, I'm a healer, I'm a mother, I'm all of this that came before me from all the other lifetimes, all the my ancestors. So I'm a compilation of all of them, all of those entities. So once I'm acknowledged that, I have more empathy for anybody that comes in contact with me, because they also are mother, father, mother, healer, all of this, teacher, student. So you become more empathetic and more accepting to yourself, to your errors, to your faults, your success, and the person next to you, or that you, all the other sentiments.
Good morning. Is it on?
Yes.
Okay. I just had the closure of acceptance this week, and boy, was it a relief. Just the peace is back, because I had to really accept, and I don't know if any other mother in here, I have one son, one gorgeous, beautiful, my boy. And I noticed that, I didn't notice it at first, but this last girlfriend that he got serious with, and nope, not accepting her either. And but I had to look back and okay, Harriet, nope, don't like you either. Didn't like the next one, just, you know, and I had to really come to terms with that because I was really hurting myself, you know, and I really had to stop. And then I would try this thing like talking stiffly if he calls, you know, like that, and then thinking like, well, if he sees that you're losing your mom, you let her go. And that was, it's just all wrong in so many ways, but I had to back up, stop, meditation, and really deal with that situation. Did I mention how gorgeous he is? Good grief. He has these big, huge dimples all in his cheeks, you know? And these girls, what's wrong with them? But anyway, I'm just saying, I had to stop it, back up. Think about karma. Think about this is his lane. These are his choices. And I had to check me and really go on and admit I'm probably not going to like any of them, but I'm going to try now. And I am going to be open to it. And I'm not going to pick them apart anymore. I really mean that. And I apologized to him, and he's just so cool. You know, he was just so, so cool. And he said, I said, so do you forgive me? Hey, you're my mom. I love you always. I like when he says that, you know. But it's just that understanding that it's not so much letting go and I'm going to lose him to her or whichever one it's going to be. It's not that. Just let him make his own choices, do his own life, and I need to be there. Regardless, you know, there's no if you pick the right girls. But I really think that in India, they got it straight. You, the parents pick the spouse. There, they got that right. Thank you.
One of the things that I've come to realize about acceptance is that accepting a situation means that I have to see a situation for what it is, but it doesn't mean that I have to leave the situation as it is. That if I understand what the situation is and I want it to change, then the more I understand it, the more I can work toward that change.
Oh, very good, wonderful.
When I moved into the house I have now, the yard was full of glass and engine parts and stuff, and I worked really hard to clean it up and planted trees and planted flowers and worked and worked and worked to make it look nice. And then my neighbor started having kids, and the second kid is wild. And he comes over with sticks and breaks all my flowers and breaks limbs off my trees and pulls all the cherries before they go ripe and stuff. And I'd want to choke them out, you know. and you know, so when I would look at my flowers and look at my trees, I would be real protective and uptight about them, you know, and wasn't enjoying them. And it's a kid. A kid's going to break things. He's going to pull the cherries before they ripen. And through accepting that, I started transforming so that part of my work now is to put down my shovel and, you know, put down my gardening tools and play with that kid and give him time like that. And it, like, transformed to, you know, this is a different phase in my work, you know, and just it really allowed me to enjoy him instead of just coveting my flowers.
Really good. Yeah.
Hi. So I'm going to speak really honestly because I'm struggling with something, and I have one issue that I thought I had acceptance on, and it reared its ugly head twice this week. And I thought I accepted it, like, that's the way this is, but I really didn't. And because every time I think I accept it, it happens again. Something a class of sentient beings does. I'll just leave it at that. And every time it comes up, I'm like, really? Again? And I'm going to date myself, but if you remember, Jimmy Connors was a great tennis player back in the 80s, and I'm an old fart. And he made a great run at the U.S. Open. He's like 40 years old, and it's like, you know, picture a hot North Carolina day, and the referee's really giving him a hard time. I mean, he's nickeling and diming him. And he just throws his racket down, and he says, I'm 40 years old. I'm hustling my blanks off. And you're doing this again, right? And that's where I found myself this week a couple of times. And it's I'm sitting here, and I had some thoughts this morning in the grocery store, which I don't like doing, but I actually was meditated. It was not crowded. And I'm going to stop being, just because I'm Buddhist doesn't mean I can't express myself. And I have to accept that, you know, and I've been, so when this happens, the next time I'm just going to say, no, I can't do it. And I'm going to explain it and just say, hey, I'm not comfortable with what you've asked me to do. And I'm going to be okay with that. Because I think acceptance at the end of the day, self-acceptance for me, is to know my limitations. And I don't like when I'm trying to just be nice and take it in, I'm not being honest with myself. And it leaves me all crazed up here, you know. And I can't do it anymore. Because I've reached that point where I'm just throwing my racket down and saying, you're going to do that again. So I'm just going to cut it off. If this certain class of beings asks me to do something, I'm just going to say no. And just maybe one day I'll be able to handle it, but I can't. Yeah, it really threw me this week, and it threw me off course. And I just have to accept that I can't go there. And it's painful. This goes back to like when I was 12 years old. And I'm just going to accept it. And maybe in time, you know, and I have enough good things in my life where I don't want this thing to affect that. And it started to. And I'm just going to cut it off and tell this certain class of sentient beings, no, can't do it. And then I'll learn to trust myself and be better for the people around me. So self-acceptance to me is that feeling when I could say no or yes, and it leaves me without that dukkha. You know, it'll be satisfactory for now, and I'm just cutting it off. Thanks.
Hi, just a short thing. Acknowledging who you are is acceptance of who you are not. I think that's very powerful because if... Sorry, can anybody hear me? Okay. Acknowledging who you are is accepting who you are not. I think it's very important. Once you understand and acknowledge your own self, then you can accept the things that you are not, which will allow you to go to the place where you should be going. Most of us don't acknowledge who we are. Right? We always think that we have issues, but we don't acknowledge that those issues either drive or don't drive us. And once you acknowledge that and you say, I've got certain issues I've got to deal with, you can understand and accept who you are not in order to get there. That's all it is.
Yeah, so then maybe it seems like time to stop, time to finish now. Chukla wants to say something. I'm saying, maybe.
For me, I think the resistance to accepting something is where a lot of suffering comes from. And so, you know, it's easy for me to think that if I don't accept it, then it's not what it is, right? That's so backwards when you really analyze it. But, like, the resistance to the acceptance is the suffering. Accepting something that's not positive is a lot less suffering, you know? So,
say that again.
Accepting something, you know, that you don't like is still a lot less suffering than resisting accepting something that you don't like. You know, that adds a whole other layer of the suffering. And so moving quickly to acceptance is a goal of mine. It's certainly not something I've mastered, but, you know, I don't know if Geshe was going to share the story about Milarepa right and his bull. Yeah, so when he tells that story, I mean, the quicker you get to acceptance, the easier, you know, it is for our minds. And so that's a little counterintuitive in a way, but pretty logical, I think. So.
So one of the gentlemen here, so what he says reminds me, when I have my 7-year-old nephew visiting me from New York. So, you know, so you all know energy they have, you know, unlimited, unexhaustible energies. Run around, and try everything, not, you know, like, and meanwhile, not able to participate with that, you know, boy to enjoy whatever is happening, because all the daily routine is upside down, my daily routine is upside down, can't focus, you know, goes around, goes outside the house, ring the bell, then open the till, so then again ring the bell, then, you know. Where's meditation? There's no meditation. When I need meditation, there's no meditation. I'm all stressed out. No breathing meditation, no Kamapati meditation. So I thought, oh, maybe I need to teach him, how to meditate. Sit down, say, 9-round breathing meditation. Teach 9-round, of course, he said. Say, no progress. Same again. Then he tells me. And he's very right, you know. I'm the one who needs breathing meditation, not him. Because, you know, he's having great time running around playing, you know. I'm not having great time. So sometimes, you know, so you need to accept that who's the one who needs meditation. So just, you know, remind that, you know. So thank you very much for all of your contribution. Thank you so much.
In the whole prayer book, let's read the dedication prayer from on page 246, the meditation dedication from Master Shanti Deva. And may all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be free from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power, and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.
Thank you. Thank you, Geshe-la. Good morning, everyone. For those people that I don't know, I'm Robbie Watkins, and according to my notes here, it says I've been the center director at Kadampa Center since 1898. And I can believe that, yeah. I think it's supposed to be 1998, but it says 18. Couple announcements first. The new members meeting is canceled today. It'll be the second Sunday of next month. And as many people know, our wonderful director of our Young People's Program, Erin Sloan, has stepped down. And we've thanked her before, but we wanted to just take this special day to thank her again. In Kadampa Center is sponsoring a puja at Kopan Monastery, and the dedication is, for the dedication and amazing offering of service to the children and parents as children's program coordinator for 5 years at Kadampa Center. Her work and effort were tireless and committed to the Dharma, making a clear path for children to learn and practice now and for eons to come. May all the seeds planted in the minds of our children, their parents, ripen in the future enlightenment of all beings. Thank you, Erin, for your years of service. Okay, so as a lot of people know, today begins the year-long celebration of Kadampa Center's 25th anniversary. If people can think back to, I don't know who was here, a few of us were here, I wasn't here in 1991, but Joanna and Don and a few others were. Since then, we've moved out of the smoke-filled basement into this beautiful space. We've had a succession of distinguished teachers from Tibet and India. We have Geshe Gelug and Geshe Sampo as our resident teachers here. We have our beautiful stupa out front, a family program that is a model for the entire FPMT. We're getting ready to sponsor our fourth Light of the Path retreat with Lama Zopa Rinpoche. And there's so much more that's happening. And this year is going to be an acknowledgement of what's happened and a way to look forward. So every month over the next year, at some point during that month, we'll have someone up here telling a few stories about the early days of Kadampa Center, talking about the history of the center, how it began. We'll get look at some pictures and see that nobody's aged. Everybody looks just like they did back in 1991, and celebrate what's going to be coming in the future. So I'd just like to give everyone an invitation to join us outside for refreshments. Actually, I think they're in the lobby, and then to partake of this year-long celebration. I could go on and on, but first we have a special guest. Okay, yeah, he's been running for days and days. Yep, he started Smith Exterminators, right? And you're just getting here. Or started in Kopan Monastery outside Kathmandu. Yeah.
So what am I supposed to say? Okay, I know. I got it.
Okay.
All right. Well, you may get... This is actually the original... let's see. So before Kadampa Center got started, This was in 1980, and so I asked Lama Yeshe, who was my teacher, Lama Zopa's teacher. I said, "Look, is it okay if I teach a Dharma course?" Because it was pretty lonely in Birmingham, Alabama at the time. And so I asked Lama Yeshe, I said, is it okay if I do it? And I did, he said, sure. And Robbie was in the very first class I taught, which I basically read my notes. But anyway, Lama Yeshe said, on August 20th, 1980, he sent a letter, which is really relevant even today. It said, "Dear Don, congratulations, giving course should be divine pride, and feel fortunate to give teachings for others, which American people so badly need." He had pretty good insight into the Western mind. He said, "Buddhist education offers American heart warm and blissful rather than empty, worthless life. Just giving encouragement, life worthwhile and enough. Big love, Lama Yeshe." He always said big love. So this was in 1980, and then I moved to Raleigh in 87, and then things started moving slowly, and then in 19, I think we have that letter. Pardon? We'll do that on Lama's way. But anyway, this in 19, so we asked Lama Zopa, Joanna, are you here? Where's Joanna? Oh, hey. Anyway, Joanna and I are about the only survivors. But I don't know, Herb wasn't around then. Anyway, yes, he was. In 1991, in October 13, 1991, Lama Zopa, gave us a name, and he chose the name. I encouraged him because I like this name, but he said this was a good name, Kadampa Center, and therefore he gave us that name. And that was the official day that this letter was written. But we actually, Joanna and I were, I think we were the only two people at the basement that night because it was raining and storming. And we read the Diamond Cutter Sutra because we had to, Lama Zopa said, start the center on an auspicious day. So it was Lama Tsongkhapa Day 1991 that we sort of kicked things off a little bit. It was pretty pathetic, but we did the best we could. Anyway, it was all good. And so, look, Robbie came in 1993, and then Robbie and I changed jobs. He came, I got out of the way and let him become the center director. And things have taken off since then. So I don't know. And then, of course, we had Geshe Soga was here. He came in 93 along with Lama Zopa, came about the same time. And then Geshe Soga was here off and on. And then Geshe Gelug. Since Geshe Gelug's gotten here, things have just gone like that. So we really... Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you.
That's it. Time to party.
Is that the end?
The end. Thank you. But there's a lot more to come. We got a whole year. We got